Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
What day is this?
Is it Richie Valens Day?
It's Taco Tuesday. It's also Cinco de Mayo.
You goofballs.
Sam and I put a lot of work into today's Artist of the Day. It is. he wants me to make sure I read this correctly so as to not get in trouble. I have to read this verbatim, he told me.
Okay.
Latin artists from the 80s. So your artist of the day is Latin artists from the 80s. I'm not allowed to say Mexican.
Very specific.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that we hear some Miami Sound Machine. I'm just throwing that
you
out.
May hear a twofer from Gloria Estefan and the Miami Sound Machine out of Cuba.
Love me some Gloria Estefan.
Yep.
Surprisingly enough, Latin artists didn't hit it big in America in the 80s.
Boy, Dana, I'm going to tell you right now.
We had to dig deep.
We were on the phone for 30 minutes. I wish this was a joke.
Latin didn't go pop until Ricky Martin, and I know that because he made the cover of Time magazine, mm-hmm. and the headline on that Time magazine was Latin Goes Pop.
Yeah, and so we started, it was Sam who came up with the idea. He goes, how about Latin artists? And I said, okay, that sounds good. It's a Tuesday throwback, so...
We can't be living La Vida Loca today.
Ooh, yeah, I said, John Cicada's out. He came in the 90s. I'm not kidding you. When I tell you, we have never worked harder on something as dumb as Artist of the Day as we did today. We were on the phone for 30 minutes. And finally, the first one that came up was Julio Iglesias, to all the girls I've loved before. That was easy. And then I said, okay, Gloria Estefan's got to get in there. And then Sam found Los Lobos, which I don't know how I forgot about that.
Hello.
And then I said, Menudo.
Of course.
Well, but here's the problem. They never had a charted hit in the United States.
Not a single one.
They were very well known for being really attractive, and the girls loved to put their pictures on the wall back in the 80s, but they never had a hit.
Do you know, Scott, when I went to Miami for the Super Bowl, the last day I was there, I did one of those stupid celebrity boat tours where they take you out to the island where all the bajillionaires live, mm-hmm. and then you drive by the houses like idiots as they point out who lives there. I think all of the artists you named as Artist of the Day have a home.
Oh, I bet.
And I mean bajillions of dollars. Gloria Estefan certainly was one of them. Mm-hmm. Ricky Martin was one of them, even though he can't be on today. And Julio Iglesias has a mansion.
Really?
Oh, Scott, these houses. I cannot. Like Floyd Mayweather's house is there. It's super, 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 super rich and famous people and super, super expensive houses. That And you can only get there by boat or plane. There's no roads. It's like, well, it's an island. But all of the...
Wait, I'm going to cough.
Wait, does that mean I can't drive there? Yeah, it does. That's what that means, sister.
I remember when a couple years ago when my mom took everybody down to Turks and Caicos, Prince had a house down there. And he had passed by this point, of course. But that house, that whomever the guy was that told us that that's Prince's old house, I have never seen anything like it. I don't understand, and maybe it's because I live in a really small house.
What you do with all that space?
Yes. I mean, like, if you're Oprah Winfrey, right?
Yeah.
You know that house she's building or built out in California?
Yeah.
I mean, she doesn't have any children. She lives with Stedman. What do you do with all that space?
You put Stedman in one wing, Gayle King gets another wing, and you're Oprah, you get the rest of it.
I guess. Anyway, how's everybody doing? Good day so far?
It's a very good, it's gorgeous out.
Yeah, it is beautiful.
I cleaned the garage today. I mean, it's that gorgeous.
Oh, that boring, huh?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Just checking all this stuff off my list while we're still stuck at home.
What room are we in today? You've moved again.
I'm in the kitchen. I like the lighting in here better than over there. It's very depressing over there.
She keeps moving closer to the noisiest area of the home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just inches closer.
The door that leads in from the garage. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, there's no one here today. I mean, at this moment in my life, no one here but me.
Where is everybody? Nobody was there yesterday. Where'd they all go? Are they at their dad's?
Yeah, some of them are there. Some of them are doing... I don't know. Scott, I don't know. There's a lot of people in my life.
You guys aren't social distancing very well, are you?
Even my Life 360 says you got too many damn people in here.
Are you guys not social distancing well over there?
In the family?
Yeah.
I don't have Oprah's house.
That's not the question I asked. Are you not social distancing over there?
We're sort of social distancing. I mean,
where are the
kids?
Where are the kids right now? Start at the
kids
top.
Kids are at Joe's right now.
Are they hanging out with a bunch of their friends?
No,
probably
no,
got
no,
COVID?
No. No, they're not doing that. Mm-hmm. But I mean, are we within the walls of this house? Are we staying away from each other? No, I didn't say that. From my children.
You don't have to social distance from your own family.
Yeah.
You have to social distance from everybody else, and so do they.
Yes, we are doing that, but within the walls of this home.
You haven't had any girlfriends come over for wine or hang out in the back patio?
Well, on my birthday, we did a little backyard patio 10 feet apart.
Okay. Okay. I'm just looking out for your well-being. You
corona judger.
He was going down a very judgy path right there.
I mean, hello.
I'm not judging, but if I was judging... We have a very busy show today. Apparently, you have set up a quarantine conversation for 3 o'clock.
I have a surprise for all of our listeners at 3 o'clock, and even Scott does not know the identity of our 3 o'clock guest.
I do not. Will I recognize him or her as soon as they talk?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, you will.
I have a quarantine conversation that you don't know about for 5 o'clock, and I told him or her to not say a word and, in fact, try to maybe disguise their voice when they come on at 5 o'clock to see if you can figure out who it is.
A little witness protection, huh?
Well, maybe. The mayor of Kansas City, Missouri, Quentin Lucas, will be joining us at 4:45 this afternoon.
Okay.
And it is Tuesday, which means it's a throwback to the 80s Tuesday. And it is also Terrible Joke Tuesday. We will do terrible jokes at 3:45 this afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
So get them ready. Don't send them in right now because they'll get lost in the mix. So that is a very busy, hopefully very little talk about coronavirus Tuesday afternoon.
Hey, Scott.
Yes?
Did I ever tell you my dad's a conjoined twin?
No, Dana. You never mentioned that your dad was a conjoined twin.
Yeah, his brother is truly my uncle on my father's side.
Get out. The telephone number here on the program, in case I don't say it enough, is 576-7798. You're listening to Dana and Parks on KMBZ.
About 17. The beat was going strong. Playing my favorite song.
Come on.
And I could tell it wouldn't be long. He was with me.
Good Tuesday afternoon.
Me. And I could tell it wouldn't be long. He was with me.
Story here from the local NPR station. A Leawood family that was the target of a botched SWAT raid 8 years ago. God, has it been that long?
Yeah, and we're going to talk about the timeline, but it has been 8 years.
When sheriff's deputies in Johnson County barged through their front door looking for a marijuana growing operation has settled their lawsuit for $150,000. The settlement was unveiled late last week in federal court in Kansas City, Kansas. It was reached apparently a couple of weeks ago, but was sealed so it could be redacted to protect the identity of the family's minor child. The settlement ends years of litigation during which Robert and Adlin Hart and their two children sought to hold the Johnson County Sheriff's Department and the deputies accountable for the bungled raid. In December of 2017, a federal jury found against the Harts and in favor of the defendants, but the case was scheduled to go to trial again this year on counts that had been thrown out but reinstated on appeal. The Harts, who were both retired employees of the CIA, originally sought millions of dollars for trespass, false arrest, assault, outrageous conduct, and emotional distress. The raid occurred 8 months after Robert Hart and his son went shopping at a hydroponic gardening store. I believe that was up in the River Market, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, they were buying tomato plant supplies to grow tomato plants.
The sheriff's department went through their trash, raided the home. Turns out what they were growing in the basement with the hydroponic lights was tea.
They bought the hydroponic lights to grow tomatoes.
Oh,
Scott.
Tomatoes. I'm sorry.
What the sheriff's deputies found in the trash was tea.
I'm sorry.
Lipton.
I misspoke. I beg your pardon.
And I want to remind everyone, they raided that house, guns to the heads of that family, including the children, over what amounted to Lipton tea.
Mm-hmm.
Because, as I recall, a very retired and very bored law enforcement official of some sort, retired and bored, that's important, was hanging out at the hydroponic store writing down people's license plates, mm-hmm. assuming, and we all know what the three letters of assume stand for, assuming that they were doing some marijuana grow operation, which they were not.
Correct.
I was furious when it happened. I've been furious every single time there's an update to the case. And I was pissed as hell when I saw all they got was $150,000. That doesn't cover a month of their attorney's fees.
No. I'm shocked it took 8 years to do it.
Well, that's what I want to talk about. 8 years, Scott. How many of the people listening in our audience would have the money or the resources to fight the government for 8 years. This family did this on principle. They knew what happened to them was outrageous and wrong, but they also knew they had the resources to fight it. 8 years.
And all
they got was $150,000.
And the attorneys are going to walk away with 40%, so they end up technically walking away with roughly $85,000.
And I want to clarify, it was not Lipton tea. It was Teavana. So God help you if you have Teavana tea in your trash bag out at the curb.
Do you know what Teavana translates in Spanish to? False positive.
It's the tea bag preferred by false positives. 9 out of 10 false positives preferred.
So
I mean, when I saw the headline, my God, I thought, please tell me it's $10 million for the Trump.
By the way,
children.
That would be $10 million of your and my tax money.
Do you remember the guns to the head? And these weren't tiny guns. These were the big, long, scary guns to the heads. They raided a private citizen's home over Tivana T. And all of that 8 years later is worth $150 thousand. That's it.
I'm not worried about the money. You know, they probably are fine. They're both retired career CIA government employees, so they're probably doing okay. I mean, they're not rich, I would imagine, but they're probably doing fine. Here's the one thing I would demand in a settlement: that anyone associated with this case be fired, including you can't fire the sheriff. He's an elected official. But everyone who had any role in this case should be fired. You don't barge into a house and hold a guy at gunpoint who you must have known is retired CIA. Can you imagine?
They're secretly growing marijuana plants in their basement. God, it doesn't seem like it fits, does it?
Because the CIA guy can't find a dealer? Give me a break.
He really sucked at his job, Scott. Like, really bad.
I mean, anyone associated with this case should lose their job. This is such a malfeasance.
Here's the problem. And I am not defending a single person who had their fingerprints on this disaster. Because this is a law enforcement disaster.
Yes, it is.
The problem is this. The SWAT raider, guns drawn, get your children on the ground, guys, are going to say, we were not responsible for the intelligence, and I say that in air quotes because there was nothing intelligent about it, we were not responsible for the intelligence that led us to this door. We
That's
just
a fair
got a
point.
Phone call that said, you need to barge in, here's the address. By the way, there's children in there and no other evidence that there's a drug growing operation going on.
Well,
but here's your marching orders.
But,
go put this family at gunpoint and let us know how it works out. They're going to say we were just following the orders when they gave us the address to go barge in.
Right. And I know we got to get to the break. Let me give the number. I have a quick point that I want to make when we get back on why I think at least to the highest level that you can go short of firing the sheriff, because I don't think you can. Or whoever the sheriff was at the time 8 years ago. It might have been, was it Frank Denning?
I'll look it up.
Okay. 576-7798. As high as you can go to whoever was making the decisions. I forgive the people who were just following orders, to your point, Dana. But the people who were giving the orders should have been and should be, if they're still employed, fired. 576-7798. You're listening to Dana and Parks on KMBZ.
You're as cold as ice. You're willing to sacrifice our love.
So the Leawood family, whose home was raided 8 years ago, believe it or not, by the Johnson County Sheriff's Department, because they went through their trash because some nosy, bored, retired something or other saw them buy a hydroponic light up in the River Market, because that's a crime. And then they raided the home after they went through their trash, thinking that the tea leaves that they actually found in the trash can were marijuana leaves, because everybody throws out good marijuana. The family finally settled for $150,000.
Scott, real quick, before you make your point, because
this
is important information, I think, for people to have on the background of this. When a federal judge first dismissed the lawsuit, a 10th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals judge reinstated parts of it, and I am quoting here from Judge Carlos Lucera. He called the raid an unjustified government intrusion based on nothing more than junk science, an incompetent investigation, and a publicity stunt. Mm. Quoting here, law-abiding tea drinkers and gardeners beware. One visit to a garden store and some loose tea leaves in your trash may subject you to an early morning SWAT-style raid complete with battering ram, bulletproof vests, and assault rifles. The family had asked for $5 million for economic losses, emotional pain, distress, and humiliation, and an additional $2 million in punitive damages. Now, again, some of it was thrown out. Some of it was allowed to move forward. They ended up with $150,000 when it was all said and done, which is squat.
I would agree with you on that. Let me make 2 points, if I could. Number one, I don't do a lot of dope. In fact, I don't do any dope. But I would imagine that people who do dope don't throw it in the trash can. They smoke it. Who throws their dope in the trash?
Well, and Scott, it doesn't look the same. The attorney asked the judge to let them brew tea, the exact same tea Ivana tea. Let us brew that tea for the jurors so we can put tea next to
marijuana,
and you can see that they look nothing alike. Part of the lawsuit was based in part on the fact that this family thought they lied about the results of the field test.
Yeah. Here's the other thing. If this was like, you know, some Mexican drug cartel or something, and you're thinking, oh my gosh, if we go knock on the door and, hey, can we come in? We have a warrant. Can we look around? And you think your guys are going to get shot to death? I understand the barge in and the SWAT team effect. I get it. This is a couple who at the time were in their 50s with two young children. There's no fear that they're going to flush everything down the toilet, because if you're right and they have a massive growing operation in the basement, how do you flush all of that down the toilet? So all you have to do is go up to the door and say, we have a warrant to search your home. Let us in. You don't need the SWAT team, everybody on the ground. I know you don't have any clothes on, but get on the floor, sir. Here's a gun to the back of your head. Oh, I'm sorry that your 12-year-old son is seeing this, but we think you're growing marijuana in the basement.
I will remind you, the comment from the judge about the publicity stunt came because guess what day this raid went down?
I'm going to guess it was April 20th of 2012.
You would be correct. They did it on 420. Hmm. This was a press release. I bet it was already written, Scott. They had already written this release. Look what we did today in Leawood. And then they went out there, didn't find a thing, and... I bet there were more than one person in that house crapping their pants.
And anybody who had anything to do with the decision-making, not the follow-through, but the decision-making of this raid should be fired. You are incompetent and dumb. To the phone, Sam, please.
Let's go to Alex in Joco.
Hi, Alex.
Hello. Hi, guys.
Hi.
So listening to the story just makes me so angry because if anybody's going to be busting down somebody's door for whatever reason, whether it's to do some raid or because of, you know, DFS reasons to come take people's kids away or whatever, they had better have their investigations and due diligence in order, because this is so disruptive, so terrifying. People lose their livelihoods over it. Just the mere accusation is crushing to people. And the government agencies, I don't know what their problem is the last however many years. And I'm all for the police, to support the police and all that.
Amen. Amen.
But everybody in their profession is responsible. And I'm a healthcare worker. So if I'm going into an operating room, which I don't work in the OR, but if I did, they do a timeout. And everybody sits around before they start working on the patient and say, what are we doing? Who is this? Are we all on the same page about what our plan is moving forward? And I don't know if this kind of thing just didn't happen or whatever, because I would have thought that somebody would have had some sort of sense and said, hey, wait a second, what is the evidence that we have and where did we get it and have we checked it out before we go blazing in somebody's personal property to do this?
And don't think for a second, caller, they didn't know that these people were former CIA. They had to have known.
Oh, you would have to.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. But it seems like we hear more and more stories about this. And maybe it's just because, you know, they're popular to put out in the media and report on them or whatever. I don't know. But it seems to me like it's lazy investigative reporting.
Whoa. You mean lazy investigations?
Right.
Okay. Well,
I'm trying to find Scott.
Or it can be lazy investigative reporting if people are calling the police with no evidence on things, which actually happens as well.
Well, and you have this guy who phoned these this couple in. He would sit outside of this store up in the River Market and write down the license plates of people who went in it because, God forbid, they sold hydroponic lamps. I mean, get a life, nerd.
Yeah. Well, and that would be very similar to somebody who has, let's just say, a medical condition and goes in to buy syringes, and they start recording everybody who's buying syringes, they're arrested for some sort of drug paraphernalia issue without any investigation or proof.
Right.
Anyway.
Well, thank you for calling in. Do appreciate the call. Thank you for it.
Yeah, have a great day.
All right, you be well. Be safe, okay? All right, what were you going to say, Dana? I'm sorry.
It was a state trooper with nothing better to do who was spending a few hours every day sitting in the local gardening store's parking lot writing down descriptions. Now, this is interesting, Scott. Writing down descriptions of shoppers and logging their license plates. Now, why would you write down the descriptions of the shoppers? What does an illegal marijuana growing hydroponics operation look like in someone's basement?
I don't know, Dana. I have no idea.
He had that long hair. It looks like he's growing marijuana. What does the description of the person buying the tomato plant equipment have to do with anything?
I'd hate to suggest this, but were they possibly looking for a specific demographic?
I wonder.
Well, if they were looking for a specific demographic, why'd they pick on the white people?
I wasn't going to say that.
I will. You got a caller. Let's go to the phone, Sam, please, if you would.
Dave in Smithville.
Hey, Dave.
Afternoon, guys. How are you? I hope you're doing well.
Well, we are doing well, and hope you're doing well as well.
Oh, good. I get a daily chuckle out of all your stories, and Dana, your cackle always brings a welcome smile to my face, even though you and I never hardly agree on anything.
Well, that's okay.
But you know what? Fair enough, though. Here lately, though, I agree with you a hell of a lot more than I do Scott, who's basically thrown his libertarianism out the window during this virus. But this brings everything home, talking about a snitching neighbor. I mean, that's basically somebody was snitched on these people. Well, now you've got mayors all across the country that are asking neighbors to snitch on neighbors for not practicing social distancing. So how about people just mind their own damn business?
Yeah.
Hang on, I want to ask this caller, is he still there, Sam, or not?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, there he is.
How did I throw my libertarianism out the window? I'm confused.
Well, during this virus crisis, you basically are deferring everything to government, which you've never done until now, and I'm kind of disappointed.
I have not. I've never once said that I propose that the government arrest, charge anyone for doing whatever they want.
Close down businesses, you're definitely
I said I'm in favor of closing down businesses. I never said I was in favor of the government doing it.
I haven't really heard you object to government doing it.
Okay, partner.
When we get back, Scott, they actually pulled the trash of this family three times, okay? Trying as 420 drew nearer, because we've got that press release ready, remember? Trying to catch somebody doing something. It's such a comedy of errors that
really
led
is.
To the battering ram going into this house. When we come back, I'm going to read this paragraph from one of the judges. Mm-hmm. You almost can't make this up. If you made a TV show out of this, no one would believe it.
It would be like Keystone Cops. I mean, literally. And you just used the term comedy of errors. You could not have been more accurate. Unless you were the family in Leawood whose home was burst into. But anybody else on the outside looking in would say, this is a comedy of errors. You're absolutely right, Dana. 576-7798. 576-7798. Tuesday throwback to the 80s. Yeah. Inner Circle. Here on Dana Parks. Apparently we have a quarantine conversation coming up at 3 o'clock that I know nothing about.
It's a surprise for you and for all of our listeners.
And I will recognize the voice the second I hear it.
Yeah.
Michael Mackey?
No.
Okay. Huh. All right.
If you guess it, that takes away the surprise.
Oh, yeah. That's a good point. I have one for you at 5 o'clock. We have the mayor at 4:45, and we have terrible jokes at 3:45.
It's just such a celebratory kind of day.
And I went to Urban Prairie Coffee this morning. I wanted to support local. Got myself.
I'm proud of you.
Yep. I masked up, gloved up. Went in and got myself a quiche. felt very foreign. I said,
it's such a hipster thing to do for an old grumpy guy
I said, this old grumpy guy would take a spinach quiche, if you don't mind. And she said, I don't mind.
He also ordered a tall non-fat latte.
I did not order anything to drink, but I went in and I just said, old grumpy guy from down the street who loves your little restaurant and your coffee shop. Would like a quiche. And I don't know why quiche is so fun to say, but it is.
It's because it's French.
Is it French?
Expensive eggs.
Yes. It was expensive. But I said, I want a quiche. So, Sam, to the phones, please.
Jacob in Overland Park. Hmm.
Hello, Jacob.
Hi, Jacob.
Hey, how's it going? Couple of things. First, I wanted to know, was anything in the story said about what happened to the people that were involved with this botched investigation? I mean, was anyone fired? Was anyone reprimanded? Anything of that nature?
Nothing in the story, but we did get a text that said they are in the sheriff. Sam, pot him down a little bit. That's driving me crazy. That somebody wrote in and said, I'm in the sheriff's department. And not only are they still employed, but many of them have been promoted.
Okay, so I just want to read the, I told you about the comedy of errors. Mm-hmm. They take three different trips to the trash for this family, which says to me for three different weeks, they pulled the trash from the curb. Okay.
Right. Yeah, I think that's fair.
And this is from a judge. The Johnson County Sheriff's Office did not conduct surveillance. They did not check utility records. They did not look for fans or other alterations typically used to conceal grow operations. They apparently failed to notice the tomato garden that was readily visible through the front-facing basement window. There is no evidence, aside from the apparent discovery of a traffic ticket, that anyone ever conducted a background check on the Hart family. If they had, the record tells us they would have learned that Robert and Adeline Hart were both former CIA employees with the highest level of security clearance. Mrs. Hart worked as an attorney. Her brother was also an attorney, formerly for the Navy JAG Corps and an ex-New York City police officer trainee. They had a son in seventh grade, a daughter in kindergarten, and no criminal record. So, Scott, I have a hard time faulting, as terrifying as this was, I have a hard time faulting the SWAT guys who went in because they were told, look, there's a grow operation down there. Be careful. We don't know if there are weapons in the house. Bada, bada, bada. But to your point, whoever signed off on raiding this home, and you are right, it was Sheriff Denning was in charge at the time. I don't know if he was the one that signed off on raids. I don't know how that works.
He would have to have been in the know.
whoever looked at all of this stuff, and after 3 weeks they have nothing, and they've done no additional surveillance in that entire time, mm-hmm. who said, yes, go bust in that door?
On 420, ironically enough, to the point that the judge was making, this was a publicity stunt. They were trying to send a message. We're going to get tough on people who grow marijuana in Johnson County. Why would, I mean, any reasonable human being would have to sit in your office wherever in Olathe and say, okay, why would two former top-level CIA agents...
They didn't know that because they never asked, Scott.
Be grown, then they should be fired.
I know.
Why would two top-level CIA agents be growing marijuana in their basement when they could easily buy it around the corner?
Here's the other deal. That poor local business, now that they know that this yahoo's sitting in the parking lot doing a... It was a spreadsheet, by the way, of the names, ages, descriptions, and license plates of all of the cars. Can you imagine you own that garden store?
Mm-hmm. Here's... If you were... There's a place in Midtown, Kansas City, that sells bongs and stuff and glass pipes. If you're really looking for people who are doing drugs, why don't you go sit outside that place? Why are you sitting outside of a garden center, nerd? I digress. We have a coronavirus conversation coming our way here in just a few minutes, but the news is next. Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. I'm Scott Parks on KMBZ.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.